Welcome to KDNK's weekly newsreel, 2 days after the spring equinox, which came early this year on Thursday.
The weekly newsreel is underwritten by RJ Paddywax Pet Outfitters, next to City Market in Elgebel, open 7 days a week. More info at 970-963-1700 or rjpaddywax.com.
I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host.
I'm Dan Richardson, proud mayor of Carbondale.
The town of Carbondale declared a disaster emergency on Tuesday, March 17th. What does that mean? And could you give us a picture of what that looks like for the town and for residents?
Sure. And it doesn't really look much different to residents. The reason we do it is for a couple of specific reasons. If there's ever federal or state aid available to local communities, it helps our case if we've declared a disaster emergency. It does give the town manager a little bit more authority to do things like approving a liquor license or some other things without the town board of trustees approving it. We've canceled our meeting next week, so the disaster emergency allows us to do things like that. So it really just gives the town manager a little bit more authority, and it declares the disaster in case aid is available in the future.
On the 18th, the CDPH&E, the State Public Health Department, their social distancing order was posted to the town's website. Talk about how the town is adhering to that.
There's still some staff at Town Hall, but they're obviously keeping definitely beyond the six-foot barrier. We've closed down the recreation center just because it's kind of impossible to meet the distancing requirements. Obviously, our essential workers at the water and wastewater treatment plants continue to do their work while maintaining the six-foot radius and all the hand hygiene. And what we're trying to do on a community-wide basis, obviously we can't patrol this effectively, so we've added signs to all the parks encouraging parents and kids and, you know, anybody using the parks to really adhere to that state order.
So the parks are remaining open?
The parks are remaining open.
Are town-sponsored events postponed, canceled? Are the buildings open to the public?
You know, any event that was due to be held in April, including board and commission meetings, with the exception of town trustee meetings, are essentially postponed. We haven't taken any action beyond April, but it's possible that those events will be postponed. We are moving at Town Hall to alternate staff, so that not all the administrative staff is there at any given time. We've prevented people from going into Town Hall, at least into the offices, and we've provided a phone in the lobby. So if you do have to do any business at Town Hall, you'll do it via a phone in the lobby.
What town services are still available?
Well, our building services are still available. We still have contractors out there working on projects, so they're still asking for inspections. There are still architects working away, so they're still planning projects, and our planning staff is still available for that. We obviously have our finance department that still has to pay bills. And then, like I said, we have our essential service workers like police and water and sewer.
Mayor Richardson, what are the main concerns for the town right now during this outbreak?
I think there are many. At the high level, we're concerned about our community and them staying healthy and safe to the best of our ability to do that right now. I don't want to underestimate the potential for this to get a lot worse if we don't follow the state orders. So while it seems like most people are pretty healthy and we're fine, there is the potential for it to get worse. And so that's probably my biggest concern. Beyond that, I think the disruption that this is causing just has a huge ripple effect. So my concern is helping coordinate efforts so that folks feel supported. They feel like, one, that there's some at least understanding of what things are going to look like, and then help them understand what the resources are, because there's going to be a lot of people that are already impacted and will continue to be impacted financially. And then there's just the community feel. I really worry, you know, we're such a tight-knit community. I get concerned that if we're all not together, it's going to feel weird and it's going to affect our psyche. So that's one of my concerns, too.
On a personal note, how are you and your family doing?
We've really embraced it. My wife in particular is really being diligent Holly's parents live with us, so we're taking extra precautions because they're in that age range that are more at risk. Mm-hmm. So we've taken it very seriously and tried to create rhythm.
Rhythm. What do you mean by rhythm?
Setting out schedules. When are we going to get out for walks? When are we going to do chores? When are we going to work? So that it just doesn't feel like we're floating out there. So we try and maintain as much rhythm to give us consistency and certainty as we can.
Well, will the ditches be turned on in mid-April in Carbondale?
That's what we're planning for, and our guys are out there working on that as we speak.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add, Mayor Richardson, about the COVID-19 outbreak and the town of Carbondale?
I received a lot of calls yesterday with, and as you can expect in Carbondale, a lot of people wanted to volunteer. How can I help? And so my hat's off to the community organizations like Carbondale Arts, Chamber, Co-Venture, KD&K, Sopra Sun, have all been really working diligently to compile those resources. And I'm directing people to KD&K.org as a great repository of all that information. And there is work to just coordinate simple support, people who need things, connecting them to people who can offer things, whether it's delivering groceries or checking on those with special needs. So that's out there. But in addition to that, I want folks to know that the Colorado Department of Labor, colorado.gov, has great information about unemployment, wage claims, paid sick leave, things that are happening as a result of COVID that are going to provide more resources for those that either lose their jobs or have decreased hours. There's a website, covidchildcarecolorado.com, that's providing childcare for essential workers. The Carbondale Chamber website has information about the Small Business Center for loans and technical assistance for businesses who are struggling. And, of course, most people know about LiftUp. So there are a lot of resources out there, and I'm pointing people to KD&K to find them.
Mayor Dan Richardson, thanks very much for taking the time, and stay safe and healthy.
Thank you, Amy. You too.
There was little else grabbing our attention this week except COVID closures, including ski areas, presumptive positives, and social distancing. KDNK News Director Lucas Turner took a deeper dive into social distancing and why it's necessary.
Last week, officials from Garfield, Pitkin, and Eagle counties released a joint public health order banning all gatherings of 50 people or more, regardless of the event location or the type of event. The order is enforceable by law, and violators could face a Class 1 misdemeanor. But the order had some wondering, why so drastic? Garfield County's Public Information Officer Carrie Godis explains the reasoning.
We have found through all of the studies and through what other areas in other states and other countries are going through at this time, that the only way we can protect our medical facilities and providers and healthcare workers is by taking a very aggressive stance and being able to hopefully slow the spread of this disease.
While the public health order explicitly bans large gatherings, that's not the end of it. It also greatly encourages social distancing. In other words, minimizing face-to-face contact with others in whatever way possible. This is why events have been canceled, restaurants are moving to curbside pickup, school districts from Aspen to Parachute have announced closures, and people are being encouraged to work from home if possible.
Because there is no antiviral or vaccine for COVID-19, we have to implement non-pharmaceutical interventions. That's what the social distancing and community mitigation is really wrapping around.
That's Karen Kinneman, Pitkin County's public health director. She says it's no longer possible to prevent widespread transmission of COVID-19, so the goal now is to keep the number of sick people from exploding as not to overwhelm local hospitals. This strategy is called flattening the curve.
Think about back to sixth grade when we learned about the Y and the X axis. If you think about the Y axis, that's the number of cases. If you think about the X axis, that's the time. And when we look at epidemiological curves, we can see that if there's an explosion, the number of cases in a short amount of time, you're going to have a steeper curve. We don't want a steep curve because that's what does impact our healthcare system and our first responders. We want to flatten out that curve. That's why you're seeing the shift in how we're doing testing in our community, as well as what you're seeing with the public health orders.
Kinnaman says people need to stop focusing on the number of positive cases in their community as a marker for how they should be responding, since it is now clear that community transmission is taking place, and due to very low testing rates, that means the number of people infected with COVID-19 is much higher than what is being reported.
We actually don't have the data that shows community spread, but knowing what we know about how COVID-19 has spread in other communities, we are moving into a different response, knowing that there are not having the data, but knowing that it's happening.
So the virus is spreading, the number of cases is higher than you think, and the best response we have at this time is to reduce face-to-face contact in whatever ways are possible. If we are successful, we can hopefully avoid overloading our local hospitals. But given the statistics, even with aggressive action, hospitals around the country are still likely to fill up by mid-May based on conservative estimates. Karen Kinnaman says this is a community-wide effort. Businesses should consider closing or allow their employees to work from home when possible. Instead of going out to eat, consider takeout. And if you're feeling sick or you think you might have been exposed to COVID-19, stay home.
I just want to reiterate, this is a community-level response. Everybody in this community has a role to play. I want the community to feel empowered, that they can not be fear-based and not be worrying, and really think about what they can do themselves and their family to really prevent this spike in the FE curve.
In future newscasts, we'll be discussing more about social distancing, including strategies for individuals and businesses, as well as the secondary impacts. We'll also be discussing the healthcare system capacity in our local area to emphasize the importance of reducing the spread of the virus. For more information on COVID-19, visit our website, kdnk.org, and click the red text near the top of the page. And we'd like to know how you're handling the community-wide effort. Are your employees working from home? Have you canceled events or moved them to live streams? And what about helping your fellow community members? Or maybe you'd just like to share a word of encouragement or even ask a question. Whatever you have to say, we want to hear. So to give us your thoughts, call us at 963-0139 and ask for the news director's voicemail. You can also email news@kdnk.org.
Governor Jared Polis initiated a project to help keep Colorado spirits up, something called #DoingMyPartCO.
We all have to take our personal responsibility seriously. So today we're launching #DoingMyPartCO, where we're encouraging folks to do the right thing and using social media, share on social media with the #DoingMyPartCO, and challenging five friends or tagging five friends to do the same.
Polis offered a few ideas and encouraged everyone to get creative.
So that could be, you know, simply a 10-second video of you washing your hands correctly. It could mean showing working from home, if you can, walking or biking, watching a movie at home with popcorn rather than going to a theater, FaceTiming with grandma instead of going to visit her, getting groceries or medicine for an elderly neighbor and leaving them on their doorstep.
He urged against stockpiling toilet paper and other items.
The supply chain is safe, and we want to make sure that we're not causing our own problem here by the short-term runs on products.
#DoingMyPartCO will give people something to do, he added, and who knows, that webcam dinner party might just become a new fad. You're listening to KDNK's weekly newsreel, highlighting regional and local stories aired on KDNK between Monday, March 16th and Friday, March 20th, with in-kind support from Rifle Community TV, providing local information and non-commercial programming, including coverage of Rifle City Council, the RE2 School Board, the Energy Advisory Board, Northwest Colorado Oil and Gas Forum, and more. Rifle TV is at riflenow.org. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. If you're thinking of heading to Moab during the COVID closure period, think again, says Molly Marcello of sister station KZMU.
Health officials made several firm decisions this week to slow the spread of novel coronavirus in a region that sees heavy use from visitors around the world.
As of now, there are to be no new check-ins.
Orion Rogers, Southeastern Utah's environmental health director. Currently, the only people allowed to stay in Moab's hotels and campgrounds are primary residents and, quote, essential visitors, those who are in the region for work.
Essential visitors are people that are coming here and need a place to stay, and they are providing a service to our community by doing some form of work here.
In addition to a 30-day restriction on recreational visitation, Moab's dine-in restaurants are also ordered to shut their doors, leaving curbside and takeout options for now.
I mean, it's a really hard time, and everyone can agree, and this is like the worst timing ever. I'm coming out of winter, being stoked about just hiring and getting staff in place.
Natalie Zollinger manages popular Moab Eatery 98th Center. In the past few days, the restaurant took decisive action to halt their table service, but they now face a full closure.
And it's a really hard move because that means we're officially closing the doors and there's no money coming in and all of our bills are due. So it's hard. It's very emotional right now, like 100%.
Local business owners wrestled with an impossible dilemma the last few weeks. How do you keep food on the table for your employees while keeping them safe from a global pandemic? Lisa Bose is the resort manager at Moab Springs Ranch.
My quandary was being a citizen here and wanting to protect our town and our resources from the influx, yet managing a resort where our livelihood and our entire business is at stake.
But Southeastern Utah health officials eventually answered that tough question. As they drew up orders to shutter the region to most outsiders, they were staring down the barrel of a busy spring season. Tourists continued to pour into Moab's hotels, restaurants, and natural playgrounds. That made Moab Regional Hospital CEO Jen Sadoff very nervous.
This is a time for all of us, you know, not just Moab to work at social distancing, but for all of us.
Sadoff and her top hospital staff say flatly that Moab's rural infrastructure absolutely cannot handle a large outbreak of COVID-19. She's desperate to avoid the fate of countries like Italy, where right now the number of patients exceed the capacity of healthcare services.
Just like there's not enough rolls of toilet paper right now because everybody went running for toilet paper. If everybody comes running for healthcare services, there's just no way to ramp those up to meet the need.
Health officials hope to avoid that situation by taking these precautionary measures. As the signs popping up all over downtown businesses say, Moab is closed for now. Reporting from Moab, Utah, I'm Molly Marcello.
Now that the initial shock of the social impacts of COVID-19 is beginning to wear off, locals are setting up systems to help each other out. Carbondale resident Dave Reed talked to KDNK about a Facebook page he started called Carbondale CO Mutual Aid.
The correct name to search for is Carbondale CO Mutual Aid Group.
Say the name again.
Carbondale CO Mutual Aid Group.
What was the genesis of this Facebook group?
Well, the genesis of it was over the weekend, I saw that friends in Grand Junction had set up something like this for that community. And I thought every community needs something like that. And I kind of thought of the quote from Mr. Rogers of like his mother telling him, you know, if there's anything scary happening, look for the helpers. There will always be helpers. And, you know, it seems like in the coming days and weeks, there will be people who need help, and there'll be a lot of us who are fine and can give help. So the idea of it is to connect people who need help with people who can give help. So, you know, we set up a Facebook group that enables everybody to post on it so they can post needs and they can post offers. And they can also post useful information. But we're hoping that it'll be like a clearinghouse, a place that people can go to just get latest information, and particularly to match up needs with offers of help.
Talk about some of the posts that have been made so far. What are people offering?
Basically, we've got a few offers of people saying, I can do whatever. I can walk dogs. I can bring groceries, drop off magazines, things like that, visit elderly community members. But obviously, we're trying to get this in place so that when the poop hits the fan, we're ready to go, and people are already using the service. I don't think at any given point there's going to be more than about 10% of the people sick or symptomatic. But still, we see what happens when everything shuts down. You know, there are people who need help, and then there are other people who have spare capacity, and we just need to match them up.
So how can people get involved in this group?
If you're on Facebook, search for Carbondale CO Mutual Aid Group and just click join, and then read the guidelines and post at will. I'm not under any illusions that everybody who needs help is going to be on this group. In fact, probably some of the most vulnerable people, like seniors, like members of the Latino community, probably aren't going to know about this group. And so we're already thinking about how we can harness the membership of this group to reach out in more old school fashion, neighborhood by neighborhood, to people who are possibly in need.
Dave Reed, thanks for putting this Facebook group together.
Thanks.
The KDNK website has up-to-date announcements, closures, public health notices, and all sorts of relevant COVID information. Check out kdnk.org and click on the Click Here for Public Health Updates banner at the top of each page. And yes, there are other things going on besides COVID-19, like the 2020 elections, which would probably be taking all the oxygen out of the newsroom if it weren't for coronavirus. Carbondale Democrat Arne Menconi wants to be the Democratic candidate to face off with Republican incumbent Bob Rankin for District 8's state Senate seat. I spoke with him about why he's running.
I think what we're about to experience in the United States and in Colorado is going to be a defining moment for us. Initially, I started because of my conviction to change the path of where climate change is going and to try to put in legislation that is going to draw down our greenhouse use to build up some form of affordable health care, if not universal health care, and try to do it on a local level. Now that we're faced with the coronavirus and not knowing what the next couple of months will be and what our economy is doing, it's even galvanized my conviction more to lead and help people in need during the most critical times. We have 8 years left, as scientists have told us, in order to avert what is going to be a climate catastrophe or apocalypse if we don't do something now. Colorado is an oil and gas state, and we need to have honest, authentic leaders who are willing to make hard decisions on the oil and gas companies and convert our economies over to renewable energies for all.
Protecting Western Colorado water and the environment, affordable health care, housing, and better education, and a path to immigration. Those are the issues that you have on your website that are key issues for you. Has COVID-19 sort of pushed those off the table?
You know, I try to not look at things as linear or binary. I try to look at them very holistically. What this is potentially doing is giving us an opportunity for character and for strength and getting prepared for the type of new economies that I've been advocating for 5 years. I ran on the Green New Deal in 2016 and 2018. I ran on universal health care. My opponent, Carl Hanlon, did not come out for those type of things. That is where we're headed. It's just happening sooner than later. Economists are saying that this is going to take a year or two in order to get through. We are going to see a different type of economy when we come out of this. I believe, as a progressive, as somebody who believes that government could help through a social safety net in different types of ways, as we're seeing even Donald Trump calling for right now, except I don't want to see corporate socialism. I want to see the type of support that our taxpayer dollars are going to in order to help our neediest people. So if that means the type of lessons that we're learning now, will that prepare us better on what we're going to need to do in order to prevent and avert climate change? I hope so. Governor Polis himself said to an individual who said, you're going to kill the economy. You're going to create job loss by the type of restrictions that you're placing on us now. He said, if everyone dies, we're not going to have an economy. Well, apply that to climate change. Apply that to what we're seeing of the separation of the rich and poor. Apply that in the type of racism that we've seen in America and how it's continued to grow under Donald Trump, and any other of the issues that I've already listed.
You can hear more from that conversation, including what it's like to run for political office in the time of coronavirus, at kdnk.org. Democrat Carl Hanlon is also running for that spot. You can also hear that interview at KDNK's website. Garfield County commissioners joined a lawsuit filed by the Western and Rural Local Government Coalition against the State Air Quality Control Commission over rulemakings to reduce emissions and increase testing of natural gas wells. And the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, approved the Jordan Cove Natural Gas Liquefaction Plant and Pipeline Project. King Soopers started exclusive senior citizen shopping times this week. Seniors will have King Soopers and City Market stores across Colorado all to themselves from 7 to 8 a.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays until further notice. The global pandemic is bringing out the best in some of us, but maybe not some folks in North Carolina. NPR reported that deputies from the Guilford County Sheriff's Office Wednesday came across an 18-wheeler, which they followed to a warehouse near Interstate 40. Upon further investigation, the truck had been stolen locally, and guess what was inside the trailer? Toilet paper. 18,000 pounds of toilet paper. In case you were wondering where all the TP has gone, no arrests have been made in the ongoing investigation. And finally, KDNK, specifically Ancient Art Ackerman and station manager Gavin Dahl, were written up this week in Current, a nonprofit news service for public radio stations. On Tuesday, March 17th, Gavin and Art hosted a special Swing, Swing, Swing show. Gavin was in the studio spinning sides, and Art hosted the show from the comfort of his living room. Take it away, Art.
And you call me Ancient Art. I really am. I think I'm the oldest active disc jockey in the Western Hemisphere. Nobody has said differently, so I'm going to go with that.
If you can prove otherwise, we'll take your call at 963-0139. But we, as far as we're concerned, you know, this part of what makes this station a beautiful thing, Art, is DJs from ages 8 to 94. And when's your next birthday?
7/11, my lucky day.
So just a few months to go till 95. That's amazing. And Art, you've been doing a radio show here on KDNK for more than three decades, and it's something that has become an institution on KDNK. In terms of your music taste, this is a bit on the modern side for you, isn't it? Don't you play a lot of stuff from the 30s as well? I mean, we're already into the second half of the 1940s tonight.
That's right. Going past the swing era. The swing era pretty much went out with World War II because the big bands broke up, and where they used to have one-night stands all over the country, they no longer, when the war ended, they no longer could do that. And they so that's why most of these tunes tonight feature vocalists.
You can find the article about Art's show at current.org. That's it for this week's news brief. We'll look back at some of the week's top news stories on KDNK, aired between Monday, March 16th and Friday, March 20th. Remember, you can find up-to-date information about COVID closures, presumptive positives, and other announcements and stories at kdnk.org. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. Thanks for listening.